The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we've read out a few statements in the show today. I would like to make a statement of my own at this point. I fully accept that a lot of people thought Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was a good movie, okay? And that I'm fine with that, and you need to be fine with that. I didn't think so, and that is why life is so fantastic, because we're all different, and that's life's rich pageant. Now, for more immediate cultural issues, for a look at what's coming up this week in film and television, I'm joined by Kay Sheehy, who's the series producer with RTE's Arena, and Rory Cashin, who is entertainment editor with Joe.ie. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi there.
Hello.
Before we get down to the proper stuff, Rory Cashin, Love Island not really taking this year, is it?
Well, apparently the ratings aren't as good as they have been previously. And to be honest, every single person I've spoken to about this season has effectively said it's the most boring one yet, that every contestant on it is just not as interesting as previous years. Now, that could
be... that's saying a lot. What?
We might have been spoiled a bit by Moira, who is just a ball of charisma.
And yeah, that's one, like, but there's another 100 there that weren't exactly.
Think we're still waiting on that one to arrive this season.
Okay.
I know there is Casa Amor is meant to arrive pretty soon, and we're having two girls from Dublin and one guy from Belfast, so that will definitely get the Irish contingent more interested. And this is around the time when the scandal and the drama and all that stuff starts to kick off. And that is coming pretty soon, I understand.
So I'd say they're moving it forward as we speak. Yeah. And listen, of course it'll help. That won't only get the Irish people going. That'll get the English going as well. Stick a couple of Irish people in there and everything will be grand. Now, Kay, you're taking us to the cinema first. And this new movie, Old, which it sounds brilliant on paper.
It sounds brilliant on paper. It's from M. Night Shyamalan, the director who brought us The Sixth Sense. I see dead people when Bruce Willis gets the awful fright at the end of the film. I guess it's a thorny subject for most people who see the years flashing by, but in Old, people see the minutes flashing by in years or in decades. It follows a group of holidaymakers, like an Agatha Christie, really. They're all on holiday in this elite resort.
And
the manager comes and whispers to a few of the holidaymakers, wouldn't you like to come for a day to this beautiful paradise beach? It's an exclusive offer for just a number of the residents. So they all troop off to this, you know, again, blue seas, coral in the distance. It's surrounded by this giant wall, so it looks as though it's a little bit of paradise. They're a bit disconcerted that the each person who was asked individually, there's actually a small group of them who don't know each other. There's a rap star, there's a couple with their two children. The couple are breaking up and they're giving the children this last holiday before they drop the bad news. Then there's the Rufus Sewell plays this surgeon with his trophy wife, and they've got a little baby and an old mother.
Still loving it.
It's a very good cast, a great setting, and then suddenly they decide, God, we can't get through on our mobile phones to call the van, not to bring us back, but maybe, you know, just for a little more luxury. And then the children realise that their togs are getting a bit tight for them. And then somebody has a little accident, and what the scar they get heals suddenly. So all of a sudden these disconcerting things happen, and then they go, oh, well, there's a dead body on the beach. So that scares them. So they decide to leave the beach, and they can't. They get a bit of pressure on the brain, and then they get
a
fainting fit.
Let's not give everything away now.
No.
But basically,
no more.
As the title suggests, they are aging.
They are aging.
As good as it sounds?
No. It's, it's quite ridiculous. The casting is so cliched. But yet, at the beginning, just like you buy into it. I think you've seen it, Rory.
Yes, I have, yeah. It's a fantastic setup and a not great payoff.
Okay. Rory, another, it's unusual that it's coming to cinemas, because it would strike me as a niche enough thing, but there's a documentary about the band Sparks, who are getting kind of very popular cult band called the Sparks Brothers, coming to cinemas on Thursday. Any good?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's directed by Edgar Wright, who did Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and some other great movies recently. And he's like amassed this incredible talking head, just gallery of famous musicians who just cannot help but spew how much they love Sparks. Now, I'll be honest, I had very little awareness of them as the documentary was playing. I was like, oh yeah, I know that song.
Yeah, yeah.
But my knowledge of them was very, very little. And then over the course of this, I was like, holy cow, they are incredible. They're so accidentally influential throughout their entire career. They've had 25 albums. The first one came out in 1971. The last one came out this year. Soundtrack to a film that they wrote that came out in the Cannes Film Festival that won some awards like last week or the week before. And the amount of people who just come out and go, yeah, like they're the reason why I'm into the type of music I'm into. Okay. And I'm not surprised no one's ever heard of
them. So even if people aren't into Sparks, this is one to go and see for music fans.
I would recommend it more to people who don't have any awareness.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, yeah. Look, we might come back to the cinema in a minute, but Kay, let's talk a little bit about streaming. Amazon Prime, Shadows in the Cloud, sounds good.
Yes, Shadow in the Cloud. Most people are very negative about Chloe Grace Moretz. They say, you know, beautiful girl but can't act. And that might be true. But this is a great premise. If I was a 12-year-old, I would just love this. So she's dressed in World War II bomber gear, and she gets on board a bomber aircraft over Japan, and she has this cargo which she says is top secret. So she gives this to the crew, and the crew are very crude and terribly sexist about the woman on board. And then Chloe gets all cut up and gets stuck down in the bowels of the aircraft, and then they're going over Japan, and they think what's happening, she thinks what's happening is the Japanese are about to attack the bomber plane. But no, it's gremlins. So these hairy animal types start attacking her,
okay,
which is a bit ridiculous, I know.
Is it completely fantastical, or is it allegorical or something?
Oh my God, no, you couldn't put any. It's just a mishmash.
Okay.
But I think there's a great heroine in the middle, and she's fighting off sexism. She's fighting off gremlins and the Japanese.
Okay, so that's dropping on Amazon Prime on July 30th. And Rory, on the actual, I don't know, do we call it linear television on the channels now? You're saying for people who like Succession, which a lot of people's best TV programme of the last 5 years, you've picked a new series for us, The White Lotus.
Yeah, if you enjoy rich people misbehaving in a way that only rich people can, it's an all-star cast heading to, it's another beautiful resort. This one's in Hawaii. And it's all these rich people arrive and interact, and in the middle of it, we know there is a death, but we're never really given too much information as to who has died or how they've died. And it's written by I've forgotten his name, Mike. I've completely blanked on his name, but he is the guy who wrote School of Rock. He's a very particular type of comedy, but in this, he is leaning more towards that kind of cringe, like put yourself behind the pillow.
Oh, yeah,
you can barely look at how uncomfortable it is as all these rich people are misbehaving with the staff who are just like grinning through their teeth and just trying to be as patient as possible.
And is everybody dressed fantastically, like in Succession, and luxury everywhere and
it's
all that?
It's like six star. It's beyond like normal life, but just seeing these people who are just thinking that someone else might have a single square foot more in their room than they do in their own room is enough for them to pop off. And like that's the centerpiece of an entire episode.
So that's Sky Atlantic or Now TV. And that's from Monday the 16th of August. Is that right?
It's currently airing weekly on HBO. So I think we're going to get them all on Monday 16th.
Okay. Now, Kay, also on the channels, Sunday night BBC does big great dramas. A lot of people love them. Now, people will have missed the first episode of Baptiste at this stage, will they? But you could catch up, could you?
Yes. So Baptiste, Julien Baptiste, is the detective who finds missing people. He came out of the Missing series with James Nesbitt, and then he was so good because he's this French elderly detective, sometimes charming, sometimes very crotchety. And And they've given him his own series. And he did the first series on BBC, was fantastic, with Tom Hollander, and it was about female trafficking. In this one, the French retired detective, Baptiste, comes upon Fiona Shaw, who plays the British ambassador, whose husband and two children disappear in a holiday in Hungary. And they find the husband dead. This all happens in the first episode. And then the two children are missing. They know that a guy with lined tattoos on his neck has something to do with the kidnapping. And Julianne, even though he's a bit crotchety, he's a bad leg, he's a bit old, but he hunts him down and misses out on finding him. But at the beginning of episode two, which is on tonight, Fiona Shaw, it's told in two time frames. Now Fiona Shaw, for some reason, is in a wheelchair. Baptiste is living almost like a homeless person, completely disillusioned. She okay. arrives with the car with something in the backseat.
OK, so if with the catch up they got there from you, people could pick up on
indeed
it tonight.
They could.
And it's
yeah.
quality.
And it's
stuff
two
like that,
time frames. So when okay. he's got a very unkept beard, it's the modern day and Fiona is in the wheelchair. And then anything else is a flashback.
OK, Rory, you've picked the second series of War of the Worlds on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. By the way, did you notice that email from Disney Plus? It didn't say we're putting the price up of your subscription. They said, we are changing the price of your subscription. I thought it was hilarious. So it's gone up to $8.99 and I don't watch much on it, but I'm told I'm not allowed to get rid of it. Anyway, War of the Worlds back for a second season on Disney Plus, yeah?
Yeah, so it picks up with the same... It reminds me a lot of the vibe of The Walking Dead. In that you've got disparate people all across different parts of England and France for this story. And you know eventually they're just going to converge. But at the end of the first season, not to give any spoilers whatsoever, we see that Daisy Edgar-Jones, who most people would know from Normal People, has a specific connection with the alien invasion that has effectively wiped out 99% of the people on the planet. And season two will focus a lot more on her. And I think it's also going to push Gabriel Byrne's character to the fore. You can say
is it good stuff?
It's decent. Like it's the best example of something that you don't mind watching while you have the phone in your hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense? Where you're like, I'm going to read. And oh, something's happening and I can look away. I don't need to watch this.
And I presume there's a pandemic-y echoes and stuff as well. Is there a little
even
bit?
Even more so. Like I think the first one came out before the pandemic hit, but the second was filmed during it. So it's definitely there for sure.
Kay, I want to go back to the cinema because I think this sounds like a really interesting little film. This is it an Irish film? I Never Cry.
It's a Polish-Irish co-production and it's about a young Polish teenager named Ola. And she wants more than anything to have her own car. And she has a pact with her father. If she gets her driving test, she can get her own car. And the opening scene is brilliant where she's failing her test and she goes out and beats up the car who pulls in front of her. So you okay. know she has chutzpah and passion.
Yeah. Okay.
But then her father, who's working in construction in Ireland, you know, a migrant worker sending money back home to his wife, disabled son and to Ola. He dies in Ireland and she has to go to Ireland. She has some English, but she's very young. And she brings all that bad temper and chutzpah to Ireland. But she meets, you know, bureaucracy, at the fact that nobody will take responsibility for the father's death. She is naive. She thinks the father should have money for her, but the father also has developed his own life in Ireland. So it's very good about the immigrant experience, work experience in Ireland, about maybe the more unfriendly face of Ireland.
And the Polish-Irish interface is such an important part of the identity of the country now that you'd be surprised there isn't more art coming out of that intersection.
Yeah, and
there,
this is so really a very good start.
Okay. Kay, you have picked out a kind of a good TV movie for us this week. You're tonight at
yes.
9:30. Where is it on?
So it's on RTE at 9:30. So Saoirse Ronan plays Mary Queen of Scots. we all know it from Catherine Hepburn has played Mary's Queen of Scots, Vanessa Redgrave up against Glenda Jackson as Elizabeth I. This time it's and Margot Robbie plays Elizabeth I. We all know she ends up losing her
head. Sumptuous, I'm thinking.
Rory,
briefly before we finish up, can you give me 30 seconds on a new movie on Netflix, Blood Red Sky?
I sure can. If you can think of Die Hard set on a plane, but John McClane was a vampire. That's my pitch.
Okay.
Can't recommend it. And it's so, you know, it's not to be taken seriously, but it is a very fun action horror.
Okay, super. Kay Sheehy and Rory Cashin, thank you very much for that. That's all we've time for today.